and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, February 11th, 2015. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort, and pick it up from your resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals. And an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, we have a first for the Dad Show. I'm going to be talking with Tim Guerin about his Walt Disney World wedding and honeymoon. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Hey, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
So, this is the first time we've done one of these shows where we've gotten a chance to talk about somebody's trip where they were actually, you know, going to Walt Disney World to celebrate a wedding and honeymoon on top of it, too. So why don't you kind of get us into the picture of this here and talk to us a little bit about the background, you know, how you got to this. Clearly, you're a big Disney fan. Your wife a big Disney fan, too?
Yeah, actually, I gotta pass the credit to my wife for bringing me into the Disney fandom. Obviously, I had been as a child. I was about 13. It was 1994. We had a family vacation, my parents, myself, and my younger brother to Disney World, saw the sights, you know, had the whole family vacation experience. But then that had been my only trip to Disney World to this point. And I know from the years of dating, my now wife got to experience her and her family's love for all things Disney, and kind of in a trial by fire got brought into the whole Disney fandom. And just kind of ran with it. You know, it's easy to experience the magic and kind of run with it. So that certainly kind of caught me up. And I got to say that I am not the least bit disappointed to have been brought full force into the Disney fandom as I have been.
Excellent. So give us a sense of, you know, when did the actual, you know, planning of your Disney wedding start? How far in advance, if somebody's going to be doing this, how far in advance do you think somebody needs to start the planning stages of a Disney wedding?
Now, we got engaged Thanksgiving, a year ago Thanksgiving. So our wedding was just a week ago. So we had about 14 months between engagement and actual wedding. And I think that served a pretty adequate time planning-wise. The first few weeks to a month and a half of the engagement, we didn't even toe the water as far as making any decisions as far as the wedding. It was enjoy the engagement. You know, things are going to take off real fast and get crazy, so let's not dive in head first right away and kind of let things pick up steam. But then about a month or so after the engagement, around, you know, a little before the holidays, you know, a year ago Christmas, we sat with my now wife's brother and kind of sat around a table after dinner and said, so what are your thoughts? And I had some ideas as far as, you know, country clubs in the area and, you know, some low-key kind of wedding ideas. And then almost kind of half kidding, but with a tinge of seriousness, said, you know, we could always just go down to Disney World. And we all kind of looked around at each other and said, you know, we might be able to make that work. And from there, you know, the snowball just kind of picked up steam. And before I knew it, it was actually happening. And one thing led to another. And here we are, you know, a week ago today, with our, you know, our wishes wedding down in Disney World. So we kind of just threw it out there on a whim, and next thing I knew, it was off and running.
That's terrific. All right. So you had about a year, and At what point did you go through, you know, Disney's fairy tale weddings? Did you do this kind of on your own?
We did. And I have to give ultimate kudos to the Disney Fairy Tale Weddings team. Our dedicated wedding planner was Carol Michaels and her assistant Lacey Amos. And we were provided with the wedding planners, immediately after we contacted them and expressed our interest in doing the whole Wishes wedding. And from day one, they bent over backwards with, you know, any kind of responses we needed. Obviously, in today's day and age with email, it's a lot easier to plan a destination wedding from afar, sure. As I can only imagine, compared to years past. But random questions, middle of the night kind of musings and randomness, we would just shoot off and, you know, get to work the next morning at 8:30, and I got a response coming, you know, almost instantaneously. So they actually went well out of their way to make things real simple for us, you know, being far away and not being able to just pop by the venue and check in on this and that, kind of leaving things in their hands. They were phenomenal. We went down there for one wedding planning visit just this past September, right, where we met with Carol, our wedding planner, and did the food tastings and the cake tastings and kind of worked through with the florist and all of the little details that we could, a few months out. But for the most part, other than that one weekend where we met with them down there, we were up here in Massachusetts, they were down there in Florida, and we just communicated electronically and kind of put everything together. So they did a wonderful job for us.
So about 8 months of back and forth electronically, and then, you know, you had that one on-site piece. Now, give us an idea of the scope of this wedding. How many people were you talking about? You know, how big was your wedding party? How big of a production was this?
So the wedding party itself, we had obviously my wife and I, and then we had six adults. We had my brother and my sister-in-law, Janet's brother and his wife, and Janet's sister and her husband, along with all the nieces and nephews. My one niece was our flower girl. Janet's youngest nephew was the ring bearer, and then the other three nieces and one nephew were our junior bridesmaid and junior groomsmen. So the wedding party was pretty standard.
Sure.
And then as far as a guest count, we rolled the invites out to immediate family and aunts and uncles with a few really close friends, and we were quite surprised with the turnout. We ended up with, including Janet and myself, we had 37 attendees at the wedding, so 35 guests,
okay,
in addition to us.
Nice.
And everything, you know, for that size worked out really well. We got to share the day with, you know, our closest family and friends, but it wasn't an overwhelming size group where we had to spend quite a bit of time making the rounds and saying hello to everybody and spending time all over the place. We kind of got that taken care of quickly and had quite a bit of time to actually enjoy the moment, enjoy the day.
Very nice.
And we were really pleased with the way it all came together.
All right. So you have to indulge my question here for a minute, because, you know, my wife and I discovered this when we got married, you know, 15 years ago. And everybody always says, you know, if they're getting married far away, they have a destination wedding, that, you know, we don't need to send invitations to those people because they're not coming anyway. All right. So what I've been told, and I'm curious whether it held true for you too, is that no matter how many invitations you send out, two-thirds are going to accept.
We actually got probably closer to, more than two-thirds of our invites came back. Obviously, a lot of my wife's family are really diehard Disney fanatics, so they jumped at the chance to get out of the New England cold in February.
Not only was it a great wedding to go celebrate, but they had an excuse to be at Disney World.
Sure. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. We did have some, a few declines that, people that just couldn't travel or, you know, were tied up with other things. But we got a good majority of our invites came back as, you know, acceptances and people that made the trip down. So,
right.
So we were pleasantly surprised with the number of, you know, people that were able to come.
Great. So you don't need to go through all of the details of the wedding ceremony and all of that planning, but just give me kind of some of the highlights. What were the things about the wedding celebration pieces itself? Because I don't know exactly what you did, you know, whether you did any of the pre-ceremony stuff or post-ceremony as part of your
Disney package. Sure,
sure. What were the things about it that really stood out to you as being the special moments?
Well, first and foremost, the main draw was the scenery itself, the location. You know, we sacrificed having the grand 200-plus person wedding with all of our friends and cousins and everybody that we could imagine inviting to a wedding for the fact that we were going to do this at such, you know, such a magical place, such a great backdrop, you know, for everything. So,
sure.
So one of the main things that I enjoyed about everything was just, the beautiful views and the locations. We had the ceremony itself at Seabreeze Point on the boardwalk, right behind the Boardwalk Inn. And we lucked out. Mother Nature was kind, and although we did get some rain on our wedding day, it only came during the portion of the day that we were inside for the wedding reception itself. So the morning ceremony at Seabreeze Point was beautiful. You know, we were right there in the gazebo, and it was intimate. You know, like I mentioned, we only had 35 guests, so everybody was close right there, and everything went great. And like I said, the beautiful views of, you know, the water behind us and the boardwalk kind of feel. It was nice. And then from there, we moved it over to the Living Seas at Epcot, which we, from the get-go, fell in love with. The beautiful aquariums, the low lighting, all of the features of the Living Seas, kind of from the very beginning, we kept kind of comparing all the different options to the Living Seas, and we'd like okay. one location and say, but how does it stack up to the Living Seas? And in the end, it all signs point to that we had to do it there. So we loved the venue for the reception. We got glowing reviews and compliments from pretty much every guest there.
Okay, no, so help me understand it. Is this a dedicated banquet hall that's in the Living Seas, or were you just in the space itself?
It is. It's a dedicated banquet space right behind the Nemo exhibit in Epcot. So I myself had actually not been aware that the space even existed mm-hmm. prior to putting this wedding planning together. And we just kind of circled around to the back of the Nemo exhibit, and there was a little door that brought us to an elevator that brought us up to the location itself. And it was, your typical banquet location. There was ample space for a dance floor, and we had the tables all set up around the dance floor. Plenty of room for the food tables, the cake table, the DJ area. It was really nice. And then we had the added kind of live entertainment with all of the aquarium windows, similar to when you finish the Nemo exhibit, and there's the kind of almost like amphitheater room right. with all the different aquarium windows to look in. We had similar views into the giant aquarium tank from our banquet facility. So,
oh, very cool.
Like I said, it made for great live entertainment. You know, the kids were kind of glued to the windows the entire time, you know, checking out all the different, you know, fish and all the aquatic life. And it allowed the adults to do some dancing and kind of not have to be in constant parent mode where, you know, the Living Seas itself kind of did the babysitting.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, so it was quite an enjoyable experience being there. It was unique and kind of something that only the Disney location could offer. So we were glad that we took advantage of that. And everything went wonderful there. From there, we had a little bit of a break in the action. We ended up there around 3 or so in the afternoon. Everybody kind of went their separate way for a few hours, and then we all circled back that evening for a private dessert party and Illuminations fireworks viewing at the UK Lockside location at Epcot. So
oh, that's a good
that was,
spot.
Yeah, that was, I mean, everything throughout the day was phenomenal, but the fireworks viewing at the end of the night really made it quite the unique experience. We had our own little kind of roped off section, you know, at the UK Lochside little pavilion there, and beautiful location to watch the fireworks. You're literally in the water with the fireworks going off overhead, and
right.
You know, we had great access to the Rose and Crown pub right behind us, so everybody could run up and grab their drinks, and they had a beautiful display of desserts and pastries and coffee and tea, and you know, like I said, the fireworks going off just overhead, and everybody had a blast. The kids loved it. The adults loved it. It was really, really beautiful. And like I said, one of the highlights for me of the entire wedding day, that way to kind of tie a nice little bow on it at the end with the fireworks viewing and everybody there. So
definitely.
All in all, you know, beginning to end, it was really, really well done by the entire Disney Fairy Tale wedding staff. I tip my cap to them.
And with a view like that, Paul didn't even complain, I bet, that he had to run all the way around the lake to get his beer and pretzel.
Yeah. We definitely, like I said, took advantage of the fact that the Rose and Crown was there. We had a few Guinnesses and really kind of took in the whole Epcot experience. But yeah, it was pretty phenomenal.
All right. So that's the kind of the wedding ceremony piece. Now, give me some context. Where within the context of your overall Disney World trip did the ceremony take place? Was it at the beginning of the trip, the middle, the end?
It was closer to the beginning, but it was almost smack dab in the middle. We flew in, so a little bit of a backstory. We kind of were fortunate even to get into the Disney area with the timing that we did, because as I'm sure you're aware, the Northeast got hit with a massive snowstorm leading up. So we had 3 feet of snow on the ground in my hometown 2 days prior to the day that I was supposed to take off to head to Florida. So I had some feeling my brother and his family were due to fly out on a Wednesday, and they actually ended up moving their flight up to a Monday and getting out a couple days early to get out ahead of the storm. So the storm did kind of wreak a little havoc on people's travels plans, but very minimally. And then, like I said, we were all fortunate to get out and get into the Orlando area.
And it's
myself.
That, by the way, by itself is a good tip that, you know, if you're going to do a destination wedding like this and you're going to do it in a time of the year when weather can be an issue, you know, that's something to consider that, you know, don't do the ceremony on the first day. Don't do the ceremony
when you
get there. Give yourself some time so that if people need to adjust travel plans, they can.
Yeah, we had a few kind of last-minute odds and ends that we needed to pull together that we couldn't do until we got down to the Orlando area. So we were glad that we had a few days prior to the wedding itself once we got into the Orlando area. We got in on a Thursday, and the wedding itself was Monday. So we had a couple days and then the weekend prior to the actual Monday morning wedding ceremony. So had we got a little bit rearranged as far as flights and travel plans, we still had some ample time to get the things squeezed in at the, you know, at the front end of the trip that we needed to. But like I said, we got in on a Thursday afternoon, gave us the 4 days prior to the Monday wedding day, which was nice. You know, it was a bit of scrambling, kind of getting welcome bags dropped off to all the different guests' resorts and picking up a last, you know, few odds and ends for the ceremony itself. But we did get to enjoy some family time, some park time, and, you know, some actual Disney vacation. It wasn't all work and no play, but we had those few days leading up, and then we did the rehearsal Sunday morning, the day before the wedding, which happened to also be Super Bowl Sunday, and we were fortunate enough to have our New England Patriots playing in the Super Bowl, so it was now hindsight shows us how dramatic and wonderful for a Patriots fan the game turned out to be. So it was an unplanned added bonus to the wedding weekend, the Super Bowl experience itself. But we had the rehearsal that morning, and I took the groomsmen and my father out for a quick 9 holes of golf. And then we all kind of settled in to watch the Super Bowl, and next thing we knew, the result turned out in our favor. Everybody was ecstatic, and then we had to pack it up and go to bed because we had the early morning wedding ceremony on Monday morning. So
okay, well, I'm going to make you pause for a second because you mentioned you went and played nine holes of golf, and we haven't really talked about the golf course as much.
Okay.
And so I want to explore that for a minute. Which of the golf courses did you play?
We played the Oak Trail Golf Course, which is their nine-hole walking course. I've kind of, you know, I'm a big golfer myself, so I'd done plenty of exploring and digging into all the different golf options that Disney World offers. And although some of the other courses are much more luxurious and, you know, higher in quality, the nine-hole walking course kind of fit perfectly for us. It wasn't so much of a big, you know, let's check out the great golf courses that Disney has to offer as it was a kind of let's get the guys together for a couple hours, you know, the day before the wedding. Is kind of like a bonding experience, if you will. So,
sure.
And
it fit in well in, you know, a few hours as opposed to burning most of your day.
Right. We weren't tied down for a 6-hour adventure. We just got in, you know, played a little golf for a couple hours and then, and, you know, got to say that we did it and experienced it. And then, you know, everybody was a little eager to wrap things up and get back to where they had to be because the Super Bowl kickoff was eagerly awaited by all of us. So yeah, like you said, the timing of it all worked out well. We squeezed it in perfectly right between the rehearsal and a little brunch afterwards the evening's Super Bowl festivities. So the couple hour round in the middle definitely fit in perfectly.
All right. Well, that sounds great. So what I want to do now is maybe turn a little bit more to the park touring piece. And
sure.
The way that we've taken to doing these reviews of the parks is that, you know, we all kind of have our quirks about the way we tour the parks and all of that, and we'll talk about anything that is really unusual, but mostly what we want to know is, you know, what things really stood out to you about each of the parks as you were experiencing them, as opposed to, you know, walking from here to there. So obviously you spent quite a bit of time at Epcot this trip because your wedding ceremony was there and reception was there.
Right.
So why don't we start in Epcot and talk a little bit about the things that were maybe not part of the wedding celebration, but just were part of enjoying the Epcot as a theme park
with this
big group of family and friends. You know, what things about Epcot really stood out to you this trip?
Well, I actually enjoyed Epcot quite a bit, and not even so much as far as the theme park itself and the rides, but the dining options. We had quite a big group go to a dinner at the Beer Garden in Germany, which is, if not my number one, it's up there as far as favorite dining experiences in Disney World. Obviously, the giant mugs of beer, you know, as big as your face, goes a long way in that enjoyment. But you know, I enjoy, you know, the kind of sausage and the food options there. But we lucked out in that the timing of our dinner at Beer Garden worked out just so that we were able to witness two of the stage performances, you know, by the musicians.
Oh, perfect.
And we had you know, quite a few of the children with us. So the musicians came out and the kids came out and danced, and it was really cute with, you know, my niece and Janet's nieces and nephews and everybody kind of coming together and getting to know each other and the kids dancing with each other and, you know, running around in circles. It was really, really cute and really enjoyable. And obviously, like I said, the beers are great and the food was great, but it was one of the more memorable, you know, family kind of moments from the whole trip with, you know, the nieces and nephews kind of running around and dancing in front of the stage. And we even lucked out. They brought out, you know, the two trays of bells and did the bells performance and the giant horns. You know, I call them the Ricola horns,
right,
from the Ricola commercials. But, you know, we got to see the full kind of musical ensemble performances, and that was great. So we really, really enjoyed that experience. And then the following night, we were back at Epcot for another large large family dinner at Via Napoli in Italy, and we rolled out the giant, you know, trays of pizza and had the long table
so well, like that big table in the middle of the restaurant.
It was ideal. I mean, we I forget our exact number, but I think we had, you know, 15 or so people for dinner at Via Napoli, and that middle table right there worked out well, and we could get a few, you know, a couple pitchers of beer and sangria and the big pizzas, and the kids had the crayons on one end, and everybody seemed to have a really, really enjoyable time there. So those were, you know, two of the really big things that stood out for me from the Epcot experience. Obviously, you know, your Test Tracks and Soarin's and all of the great, you know, rides that Epcot has to offer were great, but one of the things that does really stand out the most to me were those two kind of dining experiences. We were able to get the whole kind of big group family experience, and it didn't seem, you know, cramped or, you know, that we were too big a group for that type of venue. So those were both, you know, really, really enjoyable, memorable experiences for me.
That sounds great. Those are two of my favorites, actually. Ate at both of those places back in January.
Oh, excellent.
All right, so great dining in Epcot. Did you spend any time next door at Hollywood Studios?
We did. We, having, you know, the unique opportunity of all of, you know, the siblings, the brothers and sisters and in-laws and all the nieces and nephews and our parents in Disney all at the same time, we really tried to make a concerted effort to spend as much time as possible with all the families. You know, obviously Janet and myself, we have countless future trips to Disney ahead of us, where it will be just the two of us. So we can do, you know, the more, you know, the romantic dining and kind of the adult view of Disney World, you know, in future trips. But we really wanted to take full advantage of the fact that we had everybody, you know, down at Disney at once. So sure, we did quite a bit of taking advantage of the park hopper option with our annual passes, and would start the morning off with one family at, say, Hollywood Studios, and then hop on over to Epcot to meet up with another family and spend some time there. And, oh, it looks like my parents are in downtown Disney doing dinner, so let's see if we can catch them and grab an ice cream at Ghirardelli. And we did quite a bit of bouncing around while all the families were there.
It was wonderful to be able to just, you know, play host with, you know, all of Walt Disney World as your you know, great room.
it was impressive, and we definitely have no gripes. I've heard and I've seen you know, people who have their qualms about the Disney transportation, you know, the buses and the waits and things of that sort. But I don't know if we just got really lucky or if, you know, the stars kind of aligned for us. But for all of the hopping and jumping from one location to another that we had to undertake over the course of the 10 days or so that we were down there, we definitely didn't find ourselves kind of sitting with our hands in our laps waiting for a bus, you know, all that often. We might have just lucked out, but it seemed like any time that we were in a bit of a crunch and needed to get from one spot to another, you know, the bus was pulling up as we walked up to the bus stop. So we lucked out definitely in that regard, and being able to kind of make the rounds and meet up with everybody whenever we were supposed to, it all kind of fell into place really nicely for us.
Terrific. So what were things about Hollywood Studios that stood out the time that you spent there? You know, what, because right now Hollywood Studios is really kind of in flux, and we
it is
complaining about it, but, you know, what were things that stood out either, you know, positive or negative about Hollywood Studios while you were there?
You know, it is a bit disappointing with the Sorcerer Hat kind of in, you know, construction mode right now, because, you know, similar to the Tree of Life for the Animal Kingdom, or, you know, Cinderella's Castle, or the Spaceship Earth Globe, it's kind of the, you know, the iconic image for that park. So to walk in and see the construction walls and the kind of piecemeal deconstruction of the Sorcerer Hat is a bit kind of off-putting visually at first. But looking beyond that, obviously Hollywood Studios is a great park. The Tower of Terror was one of the newer attractions the first time I visited back in 1994, my first visit. So that kind of holds a special place. I know a lot of people might say that you know, Tower of Terror is up there on their list of favorite attractions, but it's one that I really loved, and I was glad to you know, get in there. And we actually did a ride, you know, Janet, myself, and you know, three of the nieces and nephews. So we had a nice front row occupied with all of us. It made for a nice little picture that they snapped of us. So I was glad to be able to do the Tower of Terror experience and, cool. You know, the Indiana Jones stunt show and Star Tours is one of my, you know, favorites. So the, you know, being able to kind of look beyond the construction mode, if you will, and the sawdust mode that the park itself is in as a whole, you still get, you know, all of those great attractions are still there for the taking. And I got to witness Fantasmic for the first time, which I had been really looking forward to doing, and just past trips, just timing-wise, never worked out. So we were able to sit in and witness that show, and that was wonderful. So like you said, even though, you know, you may be getting some negative reviews about the construction mode that it's in, it's still, you know, the wonderful park that it always is, if you can kind of look past some of those things.
Well, I'm glad that you had a good experience. I mean, studios are special for me because my kids love the studios, and it's sort of funny because there are obviously more attractions in other parks, and you know there are more things that people do. But no matter what, you know, we always have to make additional time for the studios for my kids because they love Wars stuff. You know, they love Jedi Training Academy. My daughter is a thrill ride freak, so that takes us down, you know, the stuff on Sunset Boulevard. And, you know, I think it gets a bad rap a little bit because, you know, people are quick to criticize the construction and to talk about, you know, what's down. And I'm glad to hear that what's up is still, you know, carrying water for it.
Yes, certainly. If you're willing to kind of accept that, you know, everything needs to grow and change, and you just kind of look beyond those things, it's still, you know, all those great things there waiting, you know, for the taking. And one of my wife's and now mine favorite attractions in all of Disney is the Art of Animation Studios with the drawing class. So we found ourselves in that quite a few times, you know, practicing, taking our tries at drawing some of the characters. So, like I said, if you're willing to look past, you know, some of the sawdust, if you will, you know, all those great opportunities that the Hollywood studios have to offer, still there, and definitely something that should be valued and checked out.
Terrific. Okay, so Epcot, Hollywood Studios. Let's go on around to Animal Kingdom, because you mentioned noticing some of the construction around Tree of Life. So did you get a chance to spend some time in Animal Kingdom?
We did. We actually stayed for the last few nights of our trip at the Jumbo House at Animal Kingdom, which was a wonderful experience. We started our trip over at Bay Lake Tower, which, again, another, you know, wonderful experience. But we made the move around Wednesday, so a couple days after the wedding, when most of the family was either, you know, flown out from Orlando or was on their last day or so of the vacation. So that's kind of when we switched from wedding mode into honeymoon mode. And Jana and I had a beautiful room at the Jumbo House. We had a savanna view, so we went to bed and woke up every night and every morning with, you know, giraffes and zebras and all sorts of wild animal life just right out our window below us, which was such a unique experience. But being there afforded us the opportunity of a quick little 5-minute bus ride over to the Animal Kingdom park itself. So definitely did a couple of the Kilimanjaro safari rides, and we had a character breakfast at Tusker House, which is another one of my favorite restaurants in all of Disney. So we fully, you know, engulfed ourselves in the Animal Kingdom for multiple days while we were down there, which I was happy that we were able to do.
So had you stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge before?
I hadn't. No, this was my first experience with the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I mean the Jumbo House lobby, you know, that main little foyer there with the high ceilings and the bridge across and the views of the savannah out the giant glass windows in the back. It was such a beautiful kind of visual, that entire room there, and the bar and the restaurants down below, you know, from the lobby with the kind of background chatter, you know, rising up in the lobby from those locations. It was really, really well put together, and you know, a beautiful design for that hotel. And we got there, and you know, not to put Bay Lake down whatsoever, because Bay Lake is a phenomenal resort. But we got there, and you know, both of us looked at each other upon check in and kind of looking around the lobby and said, "I wish we had more than just a few days here." You know, it's just such a beautiful, like, themed location. And then,
yeah, see, the thing that always kills me about Animal Kingdom Lodge is that it may be the most relaxing of the Disney hotels that I've stayed in. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's almost hard to get moving and out to go do theme park stuff, because I feel like I just want to kick back with a cup of coffee on that balcony.
Oh, sure. We fought that battle pretty much every day that we were there. You know, obviously, with the wedding and everything, we did quite a bit of running around and early mornings and late nights. So by the time we moved it over to the Animal Kingdom towards the end of the trip, you know, we were both pretty run ragged and exhausted. And each night it kind of seemed like, well, do we set the alarm for 6 a.m.? do we just sleep in, and then we can kind of mosey around the hotel and we can go check out the Savannah and wander around by the pool? But again, you know, the theme parks kind of draw you into them. So we did end up making our way to the parks, you know, as early as possible each day. But had we chosen, you know, the alternative and just kind of kicked around the hotel and sat in the lobby, like you said, had a cup of coffee and checked out the Savannah and kind of, you know, stayed at the resort itself, would have been, you know, almost just as enjoyable because of how well done, you know, that resort itself was put together.
All right. Well, so it sounds like you had a great experience at Animal Kingdom Lodge and some nice Animal Kingdom theme park experiences as well. Let's finish our circuit of the parks and talk about the Magic Kingdom. What were the things about Magic Kingdom that stood out? You stayed at the beginning of your trip at Bay Lake Tower, which was, you know, just a short monorail ride or walk away. So, you know, what were Magic Kingdom experiences that stood out?
Yeah, that was definitely a great draw from staying at Bay Lake, was the, you know, immediate proximity to the Magic Kingdom. You know, being able to walk out the front door and be at the park in, you know, a few minutes time is definitely a valuable experience, especially, as I had mentioned before, where we had to kind of do our best to juggle multiple group schedules and try to meet, you know, people here and there. To be able to get right there to the Magic Kingdom, where, you know, a lot of the week's activities kind of took place, was really convenient. So that was definitely a major bonus to staying at Bay Lake and that proximity there. Sure. But we, you know, along the same vein of the family kind of motif of the trip, we really enjoyed. We had, you know, a large group of, you know, probably about a dozen or so of us who got a really good spot right near the castle for, you know, the Wishes fireworks one night. And, almost like fighting back tears, just kind of looking around and, you know, seeing all the kids kind of staring up behind the castle and, you know, having the whole family there kind of, you know, enjoying that moment was another one of those kind of never going to let go of memories from the trip.
Sure,
and
sure.
You know, even not even during the Wishes celebration, just you know, the castle in the background, views, and, you know, Main Street USA, and just kind of that classic, you know, Walt Disney World feel. You know, being able to share that with, you know, the entire family and all the nieces and nephews and everybody was just, you know, pardon the cliche, but it was just really, really magical. We found ourselves quite a bit, or at least I myself found myself quite a bit kind of stepping almost like outside of myself. I mean, you know, is this really happening? You know, do we really have all the nieces and nephews here kind of together celebrating and, you know, having the time of our lives? It was, like I said, you know, pardon the cliche, but it was really, really, you know, magical and a special experience for all of us.
Terrific. Terrific. So that's, you know, a big standout. Anything that you got to experience at Magic Kingdom this time, you know, for the first time? You know, you've been more recently, but Magic Kingdom is the park that probably has had the most, you know, the greatest number of updates recently. Was any of that new to you for this trip?
Not so much this particular trip, but obviously
September.
Yeah, we were there for the planning meeting in September, and in that trip, yeah, I got to experience the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train ride for the first time, which was wonderful. So we did get to do that again this time around, and you know, love that. You know, it's got that kind of, you know, the new school, you know, the new technologies and things. So we really enjoyed that. We did, as part of our wedding package, we opted for the theme park photo shoot. So, okay. You know, our wedding, more. Yeah, our wedding was Monday morning. So we had, you know, I consider it sleeping in, but I didn't have to be dressed and ready for photos until 8 a.m. So I got to, like I say, quote unquote, sleep in that day. Well, I know that Janet and, you know, the bridesmaids and the nieces had, you know, cosmetologists and hair and makeup going on starting at around 4:30 in the morning that day. So I can only imagine, you know, the chaos with all those ladies kind of running around and hair and makeup and nails and everything kind of flying about. But so we had that, you know, early morning Monday wedding day experience, and, you know, the thrill of the whole wedding day, and that came and went, and we had a day to kind of take a deep breath and kind of look at each other and say, hey, we did it, you know, it happened. And then the next day, Wednesday, we had our theme park photo shoot. So again, I kind of got to take it easy. It only takes me, you know, upwards of a half an hour plus to jump in the shower, get in my suit, and I'm ready to step out the door and go. But again, Janet had to get up, you know, 4:30 in the morning and get the hair and the makeup done and slip back into her wedding dress. And we got to go into the Magic Kingdom prior to park opening. So we were picked up around 7 a.m. Right at Bay Lake Tower, you know, right at the front door by another one of the Disney fine art photographers. And they kind of whisked us through the back door into the Magic Kingdom. And I don't know if it was just us chatting or it was just early in the morning and my focus wasn't there. But all of a sudden I looked out the window and I realized we were, you know, driving down Frontierland. You know, we were in the park in a van, and, you know, it was nothing but, you know, cast members kind of sweeping up and kind of getting the park ready for the day. But, you know, lo and behold, we're in a vehicle, you know, driving around inside the Magic Kingdom. So that was a real unique experience.
Sort of a surreal moment to be tooling down almost the road in Frontierland.
Yeah, it was almost eerie in the fact that, you know, you kept looking around and saying, where are all the people? You know, it was quiet and it was early. You know, the sun was coming up, so it was kind of a bit dark, and there's nobody there, which is, you know, a unique experience to have almost like the theme park to yourself. So, you know, we, you know, posed in front of the castle and made our way around, you know, different areas of the park and, you know, kind of posed for photos here and there. And it was really a unique experience to just kind of, like I said, have the whole place to ourselves, if you will, for the morning. So we were really, really glad that we were able to take that up. Tiny bit of disappointment in that due to kind of the ongoing construction mode, some of the areas were walled off, so we didn't get to do all of the shots that we would have liked to in the theme park. But obviously, you know, we got plenty of the money shots, the castle photos, and things of that sort. So it was definitely something that we're glad that we went with.
Cool. So we've talked parks. Let's talk a little bit Downtown Disney. You mentioned that you'd met your parents down there. They were having dinner down there and you caught up with them. I don't know if you're just throwing that out as a made-up example or you really did that, but, you know, we hear a lot of talk about Downtown Disney, again, another area at Walt Disney World that's kind of in transition at the moment with a lot of construction and a lot of change coming. So what were your impressions of what's happening in Downtown Disney?
Now, I had never experienced Downtown Disney prior to this trip. I'm told in my first trip in 1994 when we went for the family vacation at the time, it was just Pleasure Island. And I'm told that my parents brought us there one evening just to kind of poke around, but I didn't really recall it all that well. So for all intents and purposes, this was my first kind of Downtown Disney experience this week. And I was floored with, you know, the volume of shopping options. And Art of Disney is one of my wife's favorite, you know, shopping opportunities there. You know, we could spend a small fortune in there on all the different sketches and all the different artwork options and figurines and things of that sort. It's quite, you know, a display that they have there. And like I said, I made sure I didn't let her venture off too far from eyesight, because the next thing I know, she's throwing down a credit card and we're coming home with, you know, $1,000 worth of merchandise. So I kept her close to the hip to reel in the spending a little bit when we were there. But you know, loved that, you know, seeing all the different artwork options that are out there. And obviously the Christmas store and all the different, you know, the World of Disney, basically having every potential merchandise, you know, option available
just about
under one roof was pretty, you know, intense there. So we definitely spent quite a bit of time there in downtown Disney. We must have hit up the Ghirardelli ice cream shop, you know, a handful of times for ice creams and shakes and the whatnot. I mean, that's the stuff that they pump out of there was phenomenal. And we didn't really venture too far over into kind of like the, what I referred to as like the club side, you know, all the restaurants and dining, the Pleasure Island side, right, if you right. will. We did kind of wander about there our very last day before we hopped on a plane out of there. I had met up with a friend who lives in the area, and we grabbed a drink at Splitsville and kind of saw the Pleasure Island side. But for the most part, the few times we did make our way to the downtown Disney area, it was strictly over in that kind of shopping area. You know, my niece is 2, and Winnie Pooh is just kind of, you know, the engine that drives her machine. She kind of loses it at any sight of Pooh. So they have, and it's not even, you know, a full blown cat. It's just a little statue on a park bench. Right. But I must have 60 photos in my phone of her just kind of ear to ear, you know, losing control of everything at the first glance of Pooh, and running up and hugging the inanimate statue and getting all she could with Pooh. So that was fun to kind of, you know, to see that kind of level of excitement out of my 2-year-old niece.
Sure, sure.
Over there. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the Fantasia, kind of early Disney, early Mickey, and have that wonderful kind of topiary fountain right at one of the main entryways with all the different buckets of water kind of pouring into each other. So we took a few photos in front of that, and that's a nice little kind of visual that I enjoy over there. So we definitely enjoyed the few visits we had over there to the downtown Disney area.
Okay. And just to maybe kind of, you know, clean up and pick up some loose ends. We talked about a few meals that really stood out in Epcot with, you know, the big family groups, and a character meal at Tusker House you enjoyed. Was there any other dining experiences, or even just, you know, food or snack things that, you know, struck you on this particular trip?
Yeah, we did. Just Janet and I did kind of the two of us a character breakfast at Chef Mickey's, which was funny. It was almost like a sticking point. The wedding was almost off a few months prior to the wedding, where we kind of slacked a little bit, and she had asked me to kind of look into making dining reservations for our trip down there. Obviously, she was fully occupied with all the ins and outs and all the details of the wedding ceremony itself. I mean, again, I can't echo enough the sentiment that, you know, as wonderful as this wedding was, I had about 0.5% to do with that. I mean, my wife kind of
along for the ride.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was just kind of tell me where to be and when to be there, and I'll be there. And she pulled together everything for the wedding. But one of the things that she really wanted to do was the character breakfast at Chef Mickey's. And I unfortunately didn't hop on it right as our window to make reservations had opened. And by the time I got around to trying to do it, there wasn't a single breakfast availability at Chef Mickey's for the 10 or so days that we were down there. So she was a little bummed, and I think she might have thrown out the line that the wedding's off and we can't do it if we can't go to Chef Mickey's for breakfast. So I was really kind of, you know, pinned into a corner on that one. So I was able to secure a dinner reservation at Chef Mickey's, and I said, well, I can't get you the character breakfast, but we'll at least get in there for dinner and kind of smooth things over and make things okay. But while we were down there, I happened to, you know, just place a phone call, and I said, hey, you know, I have a dinner reservation for Chef Mickey's, but we were hoping to try to get in for a breakfast. Is there anything you can do for me? And I guess some cancellations must have occurred, because they said, oh, for a table or two, we actually can squeeze you in on this day. So we were able to get in and do the Chef Mickey's character breakfast. So my wife was ecstatic, and, you know, I scored some big points on making that happen. So I was glad to be able to get in and do that. So that was another one of the, you know, the dining experiences that we really enjoyed. But, you know, above all, the dining at our wedding ceremony kind of takes the cake. We went down for our planning session in September, as I mentioned,
right.
And they brought us in the back of Epcot and brought us right into the main kitchen. So, I mean, we walk in and it's this fully working kitchen kind of churning out all of the food for all the different areas of Epcot. I mean, I'm talking probably upwards of 100, you know, cooks and chefs kind of running around, giant cauldrons of soup, you know, 100 gallons or so. I mean, it was an impressive operation to witness that. And then, lo and behold, we walked to the middle of the room, and they have a little table set up for us. So we got to sit right there, and they had a few cooks, you know, dedicated just for our menu tasting, and they just kind of wheeled out all the food and, you know, gave us more than enough portion size for it was myself, my wife, and Paul, you know, my wife's brother. And they just kind of, you know, threw all this food at us, and it was quite impressive. And we were able to mix and match between a few different menus. You know, we had seen there was a few menu options for the wedding, you know, buffets,
right.
And we liked a lot of one and a little of another, and we kind of were hoping we could mix and match. But so then we got there for the tasting, and they were extremely accommodating. They said, oh yeah, absolutely, we'll take this one off the list and move that one in. So we were able to get all the different, whether it was the appetizers, the entrees, everything, they pulled together from multiple different menus, and we were able to put together something, you know, perfect for us.
Let you customize it that much.
Yeah, it was definitely a welcome surprise. I thought that they might kind of hold us to the set menu. You know, we would have had to pick from one of the three or four different set menus that they had, but they were really accommodating to slide some things out and other things in, and that made it great. You know, we had a mahi-mahi with limoncello butter sauce that was indescribably delicious, and, you know, I really wanted to get that, but the one, you know, pre-arranged menu that we were looking at didn't include that, so they were able to slide that in, you know, without any, you know, qualms or any issues. So that was great. We had a cheddar cheese soup with pretzel bread that was unbelievable. We had macaroni and cheese bites for appetizers that I know my wife was ecstatic about, and, you know, some beef skewers, and they had a turkey breast kind of carving station that was wonderful. It was the food that we ended up having for our wedding ceremony was out of this world. So I was floored by you know, by how well all of that came together.
Excellent. Yeah, you know, that's the advantage, I think, of choosing Epcot as your venue, right? Is you get Epcot kitchen.
Sure, certainly. Certainly, that was great. And even our dessert party, you know, in Epcot under the fireworks, they had, you know, eclairs and tiramisu and key lime tarts and, you know, mini cakes and Mickey ice cream bars and all sorts of, you know, wonderful desserts. And that was for almost, like you said, when you're there in Epcot, kind of the sky's the limit as far as food options. And we definitely, you know, exhausted our options, you know, with all of those.
Sure. Well, is there anything else, you know, as we've kind of talked through the parks and the dining? One thing we didn't talk about as much yet is the resorts. We talked a little bit about, you know, the relaxing nature of Animal Kingdom and how close Bay Lake Tower is to the Magic Kingdom. But were there any sort of resort-based activities that you maybe tried out this time that were something different or unique?
Yeah, we did, you know, at Bay Lake, you know, we knew that there were tons of in-resort opportunities that, you know, were there for the taking. But unfortunately, that was the beginning of the trip. It was the build up to the wedding, and then kind of the wedding itself, and the couple of days afterwards. So we were stretched pretty thin during that part of our vacation. Sure. So we didn't really get to partake in too much that Bay Lake had to offer, which I was a little disappointed with. But you know, we know that that's kind of the home resort for Janet's brother Paul. So I can only imagine that I'll have other opportunities in the future to take up, you know, the Bay Lake offerings and do some of those things. But one really unique thing that we got to do when we were over at the Jumbo House in the Animal Kingdom was we got back to the hotel a little bit early one of the nights, and out on the back of the hotel, kind of behind the pool, out looking into the savannah, they offered the night vision goggles. So we were able to, you know, go, and it was a decent line. So we waited a little bit, and then it was our turn, and we grabbed the goggles, and we kind of went over to the railing and kind of looked out into the savannah, and there wasn't too much activity. It was about 9 o'clock at night, and there wasn't too much going on. So we just kind of, you know, enjoyed looking out and seeing, you know, the plant life and things. And then all of a sudden, you know, these two I think they were okapis, just kind of out of the brush came leaping out and like right into view and kind of prancing around in front of us. And, you know, we kept kind of elbowing each other and saying, "My turn, give me the goggles back, give me the goggles back, my turn." We kind of went back and forth and checked them out for a little while. So that was a really unique experience that we were able to do there at the Animal Kingdom Lodge that I don't know if a lot of people know that option is out there, but definitely if you find yourself over there, something to give a look if you happen to be back. I think they only offer it until around 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. So you'd have to get back to the resort a little bit earlier,
right, sure.
To be able to take advantage of that. But we happened to be there. I think we got back at 9 o'clock one night and, you know, popped over there to check that out for a little while. It was definitely a unique experience and one that we're glad we were able to do.
Cool. All right. Well, you know, we've kind of covered the property. So as we're kind of wrapping up here, is there anything else about this trip that, you know, stood out to you that we haven't talked about? Something special or unique that, you know, you want to make sure you mention?
Not so much in, you know, pertaining to the parks and the resorts and trip itself, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention just how wonderful the entire Disney Fairy Tale Wedding staff and the Disney Fine Art Photography staff and, you know, the DJs, the musicians, everything relating to the wedding itself was seamless and flawless and, you know, beyond our expectations. We kind of got a feel in dealing with Carol, our wedding planner, and Lacey, you know, her assistant, you know, for the month leading up to it, that they really, you know, had their heads wrapped around this, and they really were pulling out all the stops for us. But then we got down there for, you know, the ceremony itself, and things kind of went, you know, one after the next without a hitch, and everything just kind of fell into place, and the stars aligned, and everything went so perfectly that, like I said, I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, express a great deal of gratitude to like I said, not only the wedding planning staff, but the photographers who made everything so relaxed and so laid back. You know, even when they were leaning me up against walls and, you know, right knee up and chin out this way and kind of posing, if you will, it was still really comfortable and laid back and kind of, you know, non-pressure environment. So for a situation like a wedding and things like that, that can be kind of high stress and really kind of taxing, the staff really went above and beyond and bent over backwards for us to make things really relaxed and enjoyable. And we got to, you know, really enjoy the experience as opposed to being kind of pressured and forced into things. So I really wanted to go out of my way to make mention that, sure, that the staff there did such a wonderful job in pulling it all together for us and making everything, you know, really more than we could have imagined.
All right. So along similar lines then, you know, if you were to give some advice to either, you know, somebody out there who wants to do a Disney wedding for themselves, wants to do a recommitment ceremony for themselves, or maybe is, you know, has a child who's of age there, who's starting to think about it, What would be the single most important piece of advice you would give to somebody who's considering a Disney fairy tale wedding?
The big piece of advice that I could offer would be to just really dive in and take advantage of all that they had to offer. I mean, I wasn't as hands-on with the planning. I wasn't involved in the planning really whatsoever. We had a caricature artist at our ceremony. So, you know, while some people were dancing, others were getting caricatures drawn. And, the dessert party, you know, at Epcot was, you know, kind of a little bolt-on feature that we threw on there. You know, kind of the sky's the limit for what they'll do to make your experience really special and really unique. So I definitely offer that little piece of advice is to don't necessarily pigeonhole yourself into just, you know, traditional ceremony, traditional reception. I'd really let yourself kind of your imagination run wild and kind of throw a lot of different options in, because we kept to a bit of a budget and kind of didn't really, you know, break the bank, if you will, but still were able to really get some wonderful additions to the wedding that were a little outside of the box and different. So I would definitely say if you're, you know, interested in the Disney wedding experience or a vow renewal or some similar ceremony like that, to kind of keep the open mind as far as, you know, alternative kind of things that might make it all that much more special for the experience.
All right. Well, that's great advice. Thank you so much, Tim, for coming on the show and sharing your experience with us. And congratulations on the wedding.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And, you'll have to let your brother-in-law drag you to a Diz Dads convention here coming up in January.
I might just have to.
All right. Well, thanks again. And hope to hear from you again soon.
All right. Thank you, Aaron.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.